My beloved people, I remind you that the chalk, the blessed Epiphany chalk, is here and is available this morning for you to take. And of course, you know how to use it. I also encourage you to study carefully in today's bulletin this discourse on the Holy Eucharist. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My beloved people, today we celebrate, we bring to mind the Holy Family. And it is very simple indeed for us to simply say, with a few well-selected words, a few well-selected phrases, that we should imitate the Holy Family. And that it is there that we will find a lot of our answers, which is true, of course. But usually, these well-selected phrases, these well-selected words, have no meaning to us in that they do not, in fact, bring about in us the desired effect. I think to begin with, and we simply say it once and we move on, I think that each one of us should try to find a day convenient to ourselves and go and pay a visit and spend the day with the Holy Family. Spend one complete day with the Holy Family. Walk with them, talk with them, eat with them, cook with them, go down to the shop with them, whatever is required of you to be a guest in the household of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. But we must do this with the proper attitude, and we must do this with the proper protocol that one should observe in visiting guests, in visiting friends, in being guests in other people's houses. I think that if we could just do that, if we could do just that, and go into that house, that household, and be with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I think that we would very quickly find that the distinguishing character of that family, of Jesus, of Mary, and of Joseph, that the distinguishing character of that family was humility. Humility that extended itself to each other. You might easily say that our blessed Lord could have said, now look here, you two, I am Jesus Christ, God. Now mind you what you tell me to do, because I am your God. And it could have also been that Mary or Joseph could have likewise laid down the law and could have, when they found him in the temple, they could have punished him. They could have. For causing them that kind of distress. But the only words that were spoken by these individuals, three individuals, when they met was, why did you do this? And the answer, did you not know? And for 30 years, for 30 long years, no other word was recorded as having gone between or amongst these three human beings. There was silence. Nothing more was said. And humility was therefore the distinguishing characteristic of this group of people. They did not lord it over each other. They did not trample all over each other. They did not stomp on each other, but they respected each other. They supported each other. They listened to each other. And above all things, something that today a vast majority of people do not comprehend. And because they do not comprehend it, they abuse. They loved each other. The problem today is that we do not love each other. At least we do not understand the kind of love that we should have for each other. And then when we run into love, we put the wrong implication upon it. The supreme act of humility that could ever be conceived by anyone was the great act of humility that our blessed Lord performed in taking on the form of a human being. Almighty God, in the form of one of his creatures. This was a supreme act of humility. And Lucifer, decided to want to take charge. He thought it was time for him to take on the authority that was due to his creator. And he rebelled. And pride led him into doing this most stupid thing. Lucifer was not interested in taking on the holiness of God. He could care less. All he wanted was the authority that God had. And he brought into being a fungus, a virus, a germ, a sickness, which has been with us ever since. And later on, when he decided to continue his wonderful work of destruction, he appealed to Adam and Eve. They too were interested in the authority of God. And what was his appeal? Do this and you will be like unto God. And you will know. You will know. And they wanted to take on the prerogatives that belonged to their creator. And pride came into them. And through them, It has been handed down to us. And they, together with their teacher, Lucifer, were trying to usurp the prerogatives that belong to God alone. They had no ambition to be holy. They had no ambition to be, they did not understand holiness. All they wanted was the power and the might and the strength and the importance. That was their first and foremost concern. Comes Christ. The very opposite of it all. And he placed himself into the form of a human being. And right away, in the silence of this individual, and we speak right now only of his 30 years, and in the silence of this individual, we have pride and humility coming into direct attack of each other. And it resulted, in the death of the Son of Man. Now we have our choice. We have to understand just where we are in all of this. When the Son of Man came to earth, they had been praying for him for generations and years and years and years for the coming Messiah. They were not looking for someone that could penetrate the darkness of their hearts. They did not realize that their hearts were dark. The only thing that they were interested in was that some great leader would come with a mighty army and deliver them from the bondage and deliver them from the punishment and deliver them from the subjection that they were all under. They wanted to be free. Not a word was said from any of them that they wanted to be holy, that they wanted to be acceptable, that they wanted to be pleasing to their Creator, that they wanted to be near their Creator. Not a word was said concerning that. And when he did appear, as we have said before, he ate with them, he talked to them, he visited with them. He was in their midst constantly. And they didn't see him, because that's not what they were looking for. Their hearts were so dark that light could not penetrate it. And they missed him. Now come us. And we too are waiting for a Messiah. We are waiting for a second coming. And we've just gotten over this whole thing that has been disturbing us so greatly for the last year or two or three or however long. This Y2K business. And all of us were ready, well, some of us, not all of us, but some of us were ready to take to the hills and find ourselves a cave. And sit there and wait for the power and might of Jesus Christ to come down up from the clouds with legions upon legions of angels and conquer. The things that are disturbing us today. And we too are speaking from the darkness of our hearts. Nothing happened. And all of the prophecy chasers are actually disappointed. Because they wanted something, something cataclysmic, an army approaching, earthquake and storm and everything you can think of, cataclysm, cataclysm, cataclysm of every sort. And nothing happened. My beloved people, it is not in the cataclysm that we will find our answer. It is not in the cataclysm that Jesus Christ is going to be seen to conquer our enemies. Our enemies are not outside of us. Our enemies are not the ones that can determine whether we do or do not end up in our eternal reward. The enemy that we speak of is within our heart. The enemy that we speak of is in the heart of man. And the thing that we like they, exactly like they, no difference, we are looking for the leader. And what we're talking about is not going to happen. Because in the darkness of our own hearts, whoever we are, and wherever we are, we fail to see that we are the ones that have to change. But like the ones before us, we fail to comprehend, and after all, that is what he was talking about. When I come back, will I find? Unfortunately, and perhaps not at all, entirely our fault, but what is the quality of our faith? And what is the greatest cataclysm of it all that goes beyond earthquake and famine and plague and fire and wind and storm and flood? What goes far beyond the importance of these items of concern. The loss of our faith . Have you ever tried to talk to someone whose faith is tarnished? It isn't easy. It's like throwing water on a duck's back, so they say. And none of it penetrates. Going back to the Holy Family, you did not find self-will. You did not find self-importance. You did not find self-righteousness. You did not find self-anything. Yet you might say, well, undoubtedly, they were weak characters, my beloved people. There was more backbone in those three individuals than all of the backbone that we can pull together from all of mankind before and after. What they did required backbone. They were in no way weak. And when they did not permit self-will, self-indulgence, self-righteousness, or self-whatever you wish to mention, that required more backbone than anything we have ever endured. And the thing with their humility, the thing that you will see when you visit them, is that these three trusted each other. They had complete trust. They had complete understanding. They had complete acceptance. They had complete compassion in each other. This is where it is, my beloved people. And today, oh, no, Christ is not going to come back in the same way that he came once before. But he will come back because he promised it. And once again, we're going to find ultimate humility clashing with ultimate pride. And the result is going to be the death of the Son of Man. And we find this in all of our families. We find this wherever we look. We find this condition prevailing. Your family, my family. The family of your neighbor, the family of your families. Even in monasteries and convents, this can show its ugly face. And we have to pray that at least we will have the grace to see. Our world is topsy-turvy. Our religion is topsy-turvy. Everything we look at is topsy-turvy. Our family is topsy-turvy. What brought this condition about? It is true, and no one can deny it. So as we look to the Holy Family, and as we look, by the way, it would take a lot of courage to go into that carpenter's shop, or into that kitchen, or into that house. It will take a lot of courage on our part not to laugh at Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, because they got along so well together. It will take a lot of courage for us not to label them as ones with some kind of psychiatric disturbance, that they could live together for so many years in peace and in harmony. It will take a lot of courage, even more courage, for us to admit that that's the way I am supposed to live. But do not, because if I admit error, if I admit my disobedience, if I admit the things that I know are wrong, that will be demonstrating weakness of character. It takes backbone to be a follower of Christ. And that is the thing that is missing so today. The distinguishing feature of the Holy Family was its humility. Unless we hear these things and we say, oh, that sounds so good, I know that's the way it's supposed to be. But the question is, do we do it? Do we live it? Have we got enough gasoline in our cars to go and find our way to that little house where Jesus, Mary, and Joseph live? If we could only do that, then all of the other will be peace. And we will see how wonderful peace is. And we will be beyond the little handful of beggar men who were tending, dirty beggar men, tending a bunch of sheep, and three pagans. We will go beyond that. And it was because humility was in the hearts of these men. The light of God penetrated. Why is it that the light of God could penetrate these pagan kings, but could not penetrate the heart of the one who shortly later had all the children killed? Why? What made the difference? What made the difference? Something had to make that difference. This is the life that we're called upon to live. And without it, we will be a restless generation, seeking, always looking for something that doesn't exist, because it isn't in our hearts. There is no trouble for the angels to sing peace to the shepherds, because peace was already there. So may God bless us and protect us. And may we live as we know to live for His sake. If we want peace, that's the formula. If we don't want peace, then we will continue using a formula that doesn't work. God bless you. God keep you. God prosper you. God save you and us. Amen.